you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nextel, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Nextel, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here for this Saturday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where you get all of our new podcasts, articles, news and notes, every bit of baseball content that we post at Sports Ethos. You guys will find it over there. So throw us a follow, EthosFantasyBB, and also check out SportsEthos.com. That's where you'll get everything right from the source. Guys, we have a lot to go through, and it's terrible, a lot of it. It's been one of the worst 24-hour news cycles I can remember in my time watching baseball, certainly in my time covering the sport, but I don't remember a day that was so catastrophic in terms of injuries, in terms of blow-up performances. We saw, I think just about every closer got destroyed yesterday to go along with a ton of injuries. So we're going to talk about all of that. We will talk about some more positive things as well. We'll touch on Jared Jones and Zach Littell and some positive things from yesterday. And then we will get into the most added and dropped players of the day. But let's start off with some of this catastrophic news. And we'll start with Shane Bieber. I could start with a few different places, honestly. But Shane Bieber, this is coming kind of out of nowhere, but also kind of not out of nowhere at the same time. So he is going to be undergoing Tommy John surgery after having pain in his right elbow. So he apparently had pain after his first start of the season, and they decided to let him go and have his second start, and was fantastic in his second time out. There was nothing to suggest that he was hurt that I saw. He went 6 shutout against the Mariners, struck out 9. Some people after the first start against Oakland were like, okay, he dominated Oakland, but it's Oakland. He did it again against Seattle, 12 shutout innings with 20 strikeouts so far, wins in both games. He was looking like he was back pretty close to it anyway, maybe not, you know, exactly what we saw in his Cy Young year, but it looked like he was pretty back. And now we are not going to have him at all for the rest of this year and likely next year as well. This is something that I think maybe is a sign for future years with velocity. And we'll talk about velocity a lot today because I think that's part of the problem. With Shane Bieber, he's not one of those guys who throws 198, 99, specifically in recent years. And a lot of people, you know, before we heard about Shane Bieber, we had the news about Spencer Strider, which we'll talk about, and everybody was like, oh, well, it's the 100-mile-an-hour guys. That's, you know, these are the guys who get hurt. And then Shane Bieber, who throws about 94, 95, also has the same injury, essentially. We don't know with Strider yet. I'm praying for the best. I don't really know if it's going to be the same kind of news, but he also is going to be undergoing some elbow checkups, I should say, because we don't know the extent of it yet. But the velocity thing is not about who throws 100 in my mind. It's about pushing yourself beyond what you're capable of. Shane Bieber, these last couple years, his velocity has been declining, and it's come with shoulder injuries, and there was an elbow injury last year that he pitched through. Tons of arm stuff over the last couple of years, and because of it, naturally, the velocity has declined. I think he really pushed this offseason to get it back. I'm not sure exactly what Shane Bieber's offseason process was, but he gained about 3 miles an hour back on his fastball. I can't off the top of my head remember if he went to Driveline or one of those clinics, one of those programs that tries to, you know, improve your pitching, get more velocity and all that. But I think generally speaking, we need to kind of pump the brakes on pushing pitchers, not us, because, you know, the viewers, nothing we can do about this, but teams and, you know, coaches need to maybe take it easy with how much we're pushing these guys. The players themselves, I don't know how much pressure they put it on, but there's probably a decent bit of pressure that they either they put on themselves or they feel because of the nature of pitching these days, where everybody who's getting paid, everybody who's having success is throwing 100 miles an hour. There's no Greg Maddoxes. There's no Roy Halladays, really, who are having a lot of success in today's game. There are a couple of guys who don't throw very hard who are kind of successful, but generally speaking, all the aces are guys who are throwing 96, 98 pretty regularly. And I think there's a lot of pressure on younger pitchers, not just younger pitchers, all pitchers, but specifically the younger guys to get that velocity. If they're, you know, only capable of throwing 93, then they do everything they can to get to 96. And of course, that's going to lead to injuries. So we're not going to accomplish anything on that front today in terms of what's going to happen going forward in baseball. But I think that we need to kind of just relax as an industry on getting every little bit of velocity out of these guys. Because yes, it is more effective. But it doesn't matter how effective it is in a short period of time if these guys are going to be missing 2 years of their career with these injuries. Tommy John surgery is not, like, I know everybody probably who's listening to a baseball podcast knows the severity of Tommy John surgery, but I feel like a lot of people just throw it away. Oh, you know, he's thrown hard. He's going to have to get Tommy John. That's a year and a half of your career gone, potentially even two whole seasons. Look at Walker Buehler. He missed all of last year, half of 2022, and now he's still not healthy. Like that, there's a long, long, long road back, and I think that it's something that we shouldn't be putting these pitchers through. This, like, the strain on their arm is not worth what we see. And that's not just from a fantasy baseball point of view. It hurts the game in general when the best stars, the top pitchers, are not out there pitching. And it does come back to velocity, I think. This has always been a problem with pitchers getting hurt. It's not always been a velocity thing, but it certainly adds another element to it when these guys are doing everything they can to throw that much harder. And Shane Bieber was somebody who did whatever he could this offseason to get that velocity back, despite there being underlying injuries to the shoulder and to the elbow. So maybe we shouldn't be too surprised by this outcome, but Shane Bieber, unfortunately, has to be dropped everywhere. Even Dynasty Leagues, like, it probably would be a little premature to drop him today, but maybe not. He's not going to be back till he's 30 after Tommy John, after years of declining strikeout rates and performance in general and velocity. I don't know what you're going to see from Shane Bieber into his 30s, but I'm not totally optimistic that we're going to see much out of him at this point. I think that he's a pretty safe drop, obviously, in redraft leagues, but even in Dynasty, like, consult the Dynasty guys that you guys talk to, because I'm not much of a dynasty person, really, more on the redraft side. But I think that Shane Bieber, if you're in a situation where you're not with a lot of IL spots, you could probably send him back to the waiver wire. There's a lot to get through, so let's talk about Spencer Strider now as well. He had a bad outing, like, no two ways about it. Yesterday was a bad outing for Spencer Strider. He gave up a home run on the first batter of the game. It was Ketel Marte, and then he just generally did not look very good. It was five earned runs. He allowed, he walked three batters, only four strikeouts in four innings, and his velocity was a little bit down. Initially, I wasn't too concerned. His velocity on his fastball was down about a tick, 1.2, 1.3. I figured it was a bad outing. I just figured it was, you know, there was no real need to read too much into it from just that one start. First start of the year, he looked very good. And I was watching it because I have a few shares of Spencer Strider. He's probably my favorite pitcher to watch, or right there on a very short list. So I was watching this, and I'm thinking, okay, it's not great. It's just a bad day for pitchers in general, and we don't need to read too much. But now Spencer Strider is going to undergo imaging on his elbow. There's nothing we can do except for pray to whatever god or gods you believe in and just hope for the best at this point. Like, there's no move to be made. He's not IL eligible. There's been no move made by the Braves today. I'm assuming we'll hear over the next couple of days what the plan is, but I really don't know, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be headed for the worst-case scenario. If you're going to be placing bets, like, it would be minus odds. It would be the heavy favorite that Spencer Strider is going to need some kind of surgery. I'd put it at, like, 90% chance that he is going to, at the very least, need to miss quite a bit of time, so you need to start getting on the waiver wire if you can, and it's not to drop Spencer Strider necessarily, and it's not even necessarily. Like, you're not dropping Spencer Strider until we know what the news is. I can't even believe we're talking about this in the first week of the season. But if you're seeing Garrett Crochets and Jared Jones types and those, you know, ascending type of pitchers, even like a Jack Flaherty, a lot of these guys who are on waiver wires now but won't be for a long time, you should start to pick them up, because with these injuries, everybody is, not everybody, but a few people in your league are going to be desperate for starting pitching, and these guys are not going to be available for very long. It's not to say that you drop Strider, but you figure something out and you add a reinforcement, because a lot of people who took Strider would have not taken another starting pitcher for the next four or five rounds, thinking the same way that if you took Acuna first overall, you might have taken like three pitchers right after that, because you figure that Acuna is going to take care of your hitting categories, of your batting categories, and it's the same thing with Strider. You figured, okay, he's going to give me like 17 wins, almost 300 strikeouts, probably a sub-3 ERA, sub-1 whip. And then you probably waited a few rounds, and your SP2 on those Strider teams is probably not as exceptional as it might have been if you had gone middle of the pack and taken a couple guys in the 50s or 60s, and you'd gone with a Tarik Skubal type, and then you went with Logan Webb or Bobby Miller, and those kind of middle of the pack, fourth to sixth round guys, third to fifth type of range. If you took Strider, the odds are your SP2 is probably not that great. There's one league where I took Strider, and then I backed it up with Luis Castillo to show you how my day is going in that league. But I think that you need to be doing what you can right now to plan on the future without Strider. And if you end up having Strider for the rest of the season, then that's great. But at this point, it looks pretty bad. The decreased velocity in and of itself is not that big of a deal, but when it comes with the elbow pain and a bad performance like we saw yesterday, I think we can probably pretty safely say that Spencer Strider is going to be on the injured list at the very least, and potentially even worse than that. Oh, man, let's talk about Luis Robert, because we're going to get a lot of bad news out of the way here off the top. We're going to just talk about all of it, and then we'll get into some more sunny subjects. But let's talk about Luis Robert. He left the game yesterday. They called it a hip flexor injury. He was rounded first base, came up limp. It really looked, and I was talking with a couple people about this, just DMs. It looked like he popped his Achilles, and that apparently is not what happened. But it looked like the way he was grabbing his leg, it looked like he was limping on his leg. It didn't look like a hip problem. They're calling it a hip problem, but it looked very reminiscent to a lot of injuries you see in basketball. Guy running up the court. A few years ago, Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, his Achilles just kind of popped. It's the same kind of thing. Now, he was able to actually finish the run out to second base, and he was rounding first when this happened. So the fact that he was able to actually complete the play and get the second, like, it's probably not the Achilles, but it didn't look like the hip either. And I don't want to be doubting like what they're telling us, but the White Sox are kind of odd with their injuries. And we'll talk about Eloy Jimenez a little bit later. Like, he's been hurt the whole week. They knew he was going on the IL probably, and they didn't put him on the IL. They're just playing down a man the whole week. So I don't think the White Sox are particularly great at knowing what they're talking about with injuries or keeping players healthy or anything along those lines. So they say it's a hip flexor. I don't know exactly what that means in terms of a timeline. He has battled hip issues throughout his career. Missed 3 months in 2021 due to a similar type of injury. It was actually the exact same thing. He injured a right hip flexor. So it's looking like Luis Robert is another guy who is probably going to be missing an extended period of time. Not somebody that you are dropping by any stretch of the imagination. I did have one person say, like, should I just be done? And I think it's somebody who just drafted White Sox and probably just like the rest of us are feeling overwhelmed with injuries. And they said, should I just drop Luis Robert and be done with it? No, we're not anywhere near that yet, because Luis Robert, we might hear that it's not a serious injury and it's a 10-day IL stint, or, maybe he doesn't even need the IL. Maybe it's just a few days off. That's likely the way they'll go about it at first, because the White Sox, like I said, pretty inept. So even if he needs the IL, you're probably looking at a few days before they actually put him on the IL. But you can't be dropping somebody like this with first, second round upside, second, third, maybe not first, but pretty close. Like, he was a top 30 player last year, top 35. You can't be dropping somebody like that without knowing for sure exactly what we're dealing with. And I have no idea what we're dealing with Lubob. It might be a situation where he's done for several months, or he might be back later this week. But right now, just kind of have to keep your ear to the ground and see what is coming out about him. Trevor Story was another casualty of yesterday's games. He dove for a ball, hit in the hole. I want to say that Trout hit it. I wasn't watching the game. I saw the replays. I want to say it was Mike Trout hit a ball into the hole at short. Trevor Story dove for it. And then right away, Rafael Devers put his hands on his head, and Story was like writhing in pain and hitting his legs on the ground. It looked really ugly. He's having an MRI on the shoulder today. It looks like he dislocated it. And you figure the best case scenario is probably at least a few weeks on the injured list. So again, not somebody to be dropping. Trevor Story is off to not a great start, not a terrible start. He's 7-for-31. He has driven in 4 runs. He's stolen a base. But he's somebody that you would, in my opinion, be holding through an IL stint. Even if it's, we hear it's a month. Trevor Story, the upside there is still somebody who can give you close to a 2020 season. Even if it's not going to be fully that anymore, it might be like, 17 homers, 16 stolen bases, whatever it is. Like, there's enough value there, especially in that ballpark, in that lineup, for him to be worth holding through an IL stint. If they tell you it's 3 months or something, that's a different story. But I think with a separated shoulder, you're probably looking at a 3-4 weeks. We never really know what's going to happen with somebody's injury recovery. If you look up expected timelines, it's not always the way that it works. But I think Trevor Story is probably going to be out for about 3-4 weeks, and he is somebody that you should probably be holding in most cases.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, don't give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Next, don't give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's talk about Alex Cobb. This is another one where it's like it didn't feel obvious, but in retrospect, it does feel obvious now. So he was dealing, he had hip surgery in the offseason. He was ramping up. And I remember, like, Alex Cobb has been somebody that I've talked about on this show very positively for 3 years now. I've been, the entire history of the show, I've been a huge Alex Cobb fan. And I'm always interested in drafting him. If I can find a way to get Alex Cobb on my teams, then I'll do it. But early in draft season, and you guys know I've been drafting since the season ended in 2023. I think my first draft started October 2nd. Something ridiculous like that. I was looking for ways to draft Cobb, but all the reports were that he was probably going to miss about 3 months. 2-3 months, he's knocked me back to start the year. So I'm thinking, okay, there's no real need to draft Alex Cobb. I can pick him up when he comes. If it's a draft and hold roster, it's a little bit different. And I did take him on a couple of draft and hold rosters because injuries are going to pop up. Even if he's not back until middle of the summer, it'll still be valuable. I can get 16, 17 starts maybe out of him, and then maybe even 12, 15, whatever it was, I was willing to take a couple shares of him. And then his timeline just kept getting ramped up, and we were hearing that, like, yep, Alex Cobb is throwing bullpens. He's going to be back in sometime in April. And it's like, what the hell happened here? And it appears to be a semi-Shane Bieber type of situation where he went too quickly. He started ramping up too quickly. Maybe a slightly different situation to Bieber. With Bieber, it was more velocity. With Cobb, it's more about just getting going a little bit too quickly. And I think setting yourself back in the long term, because now he's got elbow soreness, which could be terrible. They say he's going to pause throwing for a few days, and he's expected to throw on Monday, but he's 36 years old. He's got a decent history of injuries all over. He's just coming off a surgery. It was to his hip, but you're just adding on ailments at 36 years old. It's really, really tough. So if you have Alex Cobb, if you've already drafted him, I don't think that this really changes too much as of right now. You're not cutting him because of this news, but it certainly doesn't give you a lot of excitement to see something like this. He's not a huge target. I think if you have IL space, then it works. If you're in an NFBC league where it's a 15-teamer, there's not that many great options available. Alex Cobb could still hypothetically be okay, and it's another situation where I'm kind of just waiting for a little bit more news until we fully know what to do with him. Right now, I would say to hold. If you want to cut him, then I'm not going to give you grief over it. But I think in most cases, he is worth holding. 10-team league, if you have Alex Cobb, probably not in that case. But anything 12 and deeper, I do think that he can still bring you some value. And we might hear in a couple days that, you know, he's been shut down further and he needs surgery or whatever it is. But for right now, as of today, as I'm recording this on Saturday, April 6th, I do not think that Alex Cobb should be dropped. The same cannot be said at this point for Eloy Jimenez. I'm done. I am totally, totally, totally done with this guy at this point. He cannot stay healthy to save his life. He hasn't been great this year. It's only been 11 at-bats, but he hasn't looked very great. There's not a lot of team context around him, especially if Luis Robert has to miss time. I just don't have any interest in dealing with this bullshit anymore with Eloy. Every single year, it's injury after injury, and I wrote about it in a blurb yesterday. We are dealing with 12 separate injuries since the start of the 2022 season. 12 separate injuries. This guy just cannot stay healthy. If you're in a 15-teamer, okay, it's kind of hard to fully cut bait, but he doesn't play. He just doesn't play. Even when he does, the performance is not anything close to what we thought it would be. Like 2019 set the bar way too high. As a rookie, he hit 31 homers. He batted .267. And it was because of the happy fun ball that we talk about here and there in 2019, where everybody was hitting 30 homers. Everybody, like Jeff McNeil, hit 25 or 23. Christian Vasquez hit like 22 homers. It was a ridiculous season in terms of the numbers we were seeing in terms of home runs. He's never been that guy since. 2020 in the short year was a really, really good stretch as well of 55 games. Since then, it's been pretty bad stuff. Even last year when he was reasonably healthy at 120 games, he was fine. It was 105 WRC plus, 18 homers, .270 batting average. It's not like we're waiting out for a first rounder here. We're waiting out for somebody who is fine. He's like another version of Giancarlo Stanton, but with less power, a bit better batting average, but the same shit where they're always hurt. You're thinking that there's going to be a few weeks here and there where they're very viable fantasy assets, but at the end of the day, they just hurt you more than they help you because you're always holding on and missing out on opportunities to pick up other players because in the back of our heads, we're like, Eloy could hit 30 homers. Giancarlo Stanton, he could hit 45 home runs again if he's healthy, and we always bullshit ourselves. And at the end of the day, it almost never works out with these guys. And, you know, Buxton, you can throw him in the same grouping. It's like there's certain players where it's just, I'm done. And Eloy Jimenez, I was willing to give him a chance this year, stupidly. And we got through three games played and 11 at-bats before he's already hit in the injured list. So you know what, guys? Maybe it's an extreme reaction, but outside of those deep leagues, forget about him. There's no need to be wasting your time on Eloy Jimenez just so you can get him into your lineup for those 62 games he's going to play and hit 12 homers and bat .265. And, you know, he'll do this. He'll the last week of the season, I'm sure Eloy will be healthy, and he'll hit four home runs, and he'll probably steal a base or something ridiculous, which he's never done in his career. And then next year, we'll do the same thing again. And we'll be like, oh, well, maybe this is the year for Eloy. He is at the point where you got to prove it to me until I am ever willing to do anything in terms of drafting you, adding you, putting you in a lineup again. He's only 27, but it feels like we've been doing the same dance with him for about a decade. I'm done. I don't want anything to do with him anymore. Outside of 15-teamers, and even there, I think you could make the argument that you could probably cut him. Let's talk Wilson Contreras, another drop in the bucket today. Scratch from the lineups. He was initially put into the lineup. He was going to return after. So he got hit by a pitch a few days ago. X-rays were negative. It didn't seem like a big deal, but it has kept him out of the lineup now for a few days. So it's not something that I'm overly concerned about, but a situation where start thinking about a pivot move if Wilson Contreras does need to hit the injured list. Right now he's not. Maybe he gets there. And I'm not saying to go and necessarily add a catcher right now. You could, depending on your league size and type, you might have somebody pretty valuable out there, and I'll throw a name out. MJ Melendez is still like 60% rostered on Yahoo. He's not playing catcher, but he has catcher eligibility. So there's somebody there that could be a nice fill-in for a lot of teams if you do have to go without Wilson Contreras for a couple of weeks. And it looks like we may be getting some kind of short IL stint. And that's not to say that you need to have a rest of season type of option at catcher or anything. Like, Wilson's not going to be done for the year. That's not what we're saying, but you might need to, you know, plan on being without him for a few weeks. And if you do, I think a guy like MJ Melendez is a pretty decent fill in there. So take a look and see if he is available on your waiver wire. Not to say that you'd be doing this right now, but just if we get there, and it looks like we might be getting to a point of Wilson having to miss a bit of time. Let's talk about some of yesterday's news and notes, guys. There was a decent bit of stuff to talk about from yesterday. Let's start with Jared Jones. We actually have some positive news 22 minutes into the podcast. We'll start with something good here. We'll get into the good stuff. He did it again. I was kind of debating whether or not he was a start in the one league where I had him. I did end up starting him, and I'm very happy I did. Six innings pitched, six hits, two earned runs, struck out seven, did not walk a batter, and had a 35% CSW. He had 21 whiffs on the day, the most by any pitcher by a good stretch. I think the next highest number was 16. People are still asleep at the wheel on Yahoo. I tweeted it out last night as part of my notes that he was 53% rostered. Let's see how much that has changed. 55. He's still perennially undervalued for whatever reason. You know, this is the thing. People right now, and I said this, I was on Baseball HQ Radio, and the episode came out yesterday. You guys should have a listen there. People are always looking for these rest-of-season pickups at this time of year, and they think, if a guy's not going to be on the team the rest of the year, a pitcher's not going to throw 180 innings, he's not worth my time. And that's the mentality a lot of people have. If you're able to get Jared Jones right now, and he throws 120 innings for you, or 100 innings, 110, whatever it ends up being, and then let's say they shut him down in July, August, you tell me you don't want that production for these next few months? Like, you would rather just forego that because it's not going to be the entirety of the season? Some people are actually of that mentality, that they would rather just try and find these long-term dudes. And it's nice if you can find them, but when somebody's doing what Jared Jones is doing and he's still on the waiver wire, it would be foolish not to add him. Now, we're going to go through this next week again with the start-sit conundrum for him. Baltimore, he passed that test. He passed the Miami test with flying colors in the first start. Now he gets probably the trickiest lineup he's had to face in Philadelphia next week. As of right now, I say that, yes, he has entered the circle of trust, and I'd be willing to start him at Philadelphia. I wouldn't fault you for benching him because it is a tricky lineup, and we know that Harper and Turner and Schwarber and Castellanos and Stott and Real Muto, they can make your life hell over a given day, but I think Jared Jones has put himself into that kind of circle of trust. Speaking of circle of trust, Zach Littell was not a part of that for me. Up until yesterday, he's kind of put himself into that grouping. He had a good start at Coors, which is just fantastic. I was not starting him. I think one league I did because it's a 15-teamer, and you're just really, there's not that many options in 15-teamers. But I think in a lot of cases, 12-teamers, he was a very, very easy bench. Five innings pitched, one earned run, five strikeouts, no walks, and a 36% CSW. I'm pretty comfortable starting him in most cases going forward. He's only at 28% on Yahoo, and I think the most notable part about him is that he's starting pitcher and relief pitcher eligible. For a points league player, I can't even begin to tell you how valuable that is. If you're slotting in any reliever, especially some of the relievers that we have seen, and we'll talk about a couple of them that got blown up yesterday, if you're talking about, you know, an Abner Uribe or a Jason Foley or whatever in a points league, and you've got a guy like Littell sitting there, it is one of the more no-brainer switches you can possibly make at this point. The point output you're going to get from starting pitchers with relief pitcher eligibility, Reagans, Pavetta, Garrett Whitlock, these guys are super, super valuable in any league, specifically in points leagues, though, where they are just naturally going to be scoring more than those relievers on almost any given week. So I think Littell makes a lot of sense in any league as a pickup, but specifically for points, I really, really, really like him. He also faces the Angels next week, so even if you're not bought in fully, that's a fantastic streaming opportunity. Ryan McMahon has been one of the hottest players for the first week. He's slashing .414, .471, .586, OPS well over 1,000. He had a walk-off grand slam yesterday. I've been a big Ryan McMahon fan the whole winter. We've talked about him numerous times on the show. Second, third base eligible guy, plays half his games at Coors, incredibly consistent, and only on 55% of Yahoo rosters. I think that he is a very, very easy pickup for anybody in need of a corner. And that's the thing, like, not just second and third, but for those Roto League style setups, he has that corner and middle eligibility, and you can put him at utility. There's like five different places you can put McMahon in the lineup, specifically for times when they're at Coors. He is a no-brainer type of pickup for me. Here's where I'm going to get myself in a little bit of trouble. Let's talk about Jordan Hicks. Another great line. He went seven innings, five hits, struck out five, only allowed one earned run, and did not walk a batter, which is huge. 26% CSW is kind of low, and he also was down drastically in terms of his velocity from even just the first start to the second start. Guys are going to lose velo as they go to as they transition to starters from bullpen arms because, you know, naturally you're throwing closer to like 100 pitches versus 30. You're not going to be able to have as much in the tank the whole time. That's understandable. We saw some pretty drastic dips across the entire arsenal. From his first start to his second start, 98.1 on the fastball went to 96.5. His sinker went from 97.1 to 94.6, and the sweeper was 83 down to 81.4 on average. Those are pretty significant drops. We're talking 4 or 5 miles an hour on, like, maybe not, 3-4 miles an hour on average. Like, that's kind of significant. I think people who have Jordan Hicks on rosters in trading leagues should be doing everything they can to sell him. I do not think that he is somebody that can maintain an entire season's workload as a starting pitcher. And there will come a point where he either A, falters and looks awful as a starter, or B, or maybe, you know, and B, gets sent back to the bullpen because of it. So I'd be doing everything I can to deal him right now. I think that he is an incredible sell-high opportunity at this point. Let's talk Tarik Skubal. Worked into the seventh inning against the A's, 6 3rd. He looked really good for the first 5 innings, and then he started to falter down the stretch a little bit. So I ended up going 6 3rd, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 9, had 2 walks, and a 36% CSW. You don't want to see this against the Athletics. It's not what you want to see. It's a very lowly team. You want to see him dominate. Tarik Skubal is entering into that ace tier, and you want to see him go out there and shove against these bad teams. He mostly did, but those 4 earned runs are something to look at. Now, the factor that we need to mention is it was very cold in Detroit yesterday. It was snowing, and his velocity went really, really far down because of it. He was averaging 97, 98 at the beginning, all the way down to, he threw a fastball at 91.6. So it's something that I'm not going to read too much into. This is likely just a product of the velocity, or excuse me, a product of the cold weather, and it's not a situation where there's really much to do at all. You don't have to, you know, put him in your bench, or there's nothing really to worry about at this point. But at the same time, I'm going to be watching pretty closely on his next start. Like, I'm of course, like, he's not getting benched, he's not getting dropped or anything ridiculous like that. But I am going to be very concerned if he is still down a couple ticks his next outing. If he's only hitting 93 or 94, then, well, he might be the next one we add to the pile. For right now, let's chalk it up to the bad weather and not read too much into that. Let's talk about a couple of these situations yesterday from relief pitchers. It seemed like kind of everybody. So let's start with the Detroit Tigers situation. We're already on the Tigers. So Alex Lang got the save yesterday. As we had predicted, there were going to be some oddities in that bullpen. So Foley pitched the eighth inning, and I think it was more about using him for the highest leverage opportunity. But it's also a situation where there's like 4 guys in that pen who are going to be getting some saves. Lang got one yesterday. Andrew Chafin might be in the mix. Shelby Miller. So it's been Foley mostly. I wouldn't read anything into Lang getting that save yesterday. It's nothing to, like, you don't go pick up Alex Lang again. I think Foley is the guy, but this is going to be a very frustrating situation for fantasy managers. Like, right now, Jason Foley's a top 10 player in fantasy because he has 7 strikeouts in 4 innings. He has 2 wins and 2 saves. Like, he is at this point been one of the more valuable fantasy players that you could have had. But there's also going to be weeks where Jason Foley might not get saves. And if you're in a holds league, it doesn't matter as much, save and holds combined, whatever. But there might be a week where they go to Andrew Chafin and then they go to Lang the next day, and it's just like a situation, who's up in the order at which part of the game type of deal. And it might be very, very, very frustrating for you. But there's nothing really to say other than Foley is the guy. You can roster him with pretty full confidence that he is going to be the guy. But at the same time, if Alex Lang ends up with 10 saves this year, I wouldn't be surprised. And it is going to be a very annoying situation for fantasy managers. It's just something you're going to have to deal with if you did take the plunge there. Abner Uribe blew a save yesterday. He's still the guy in my eyes. Like, that's not anything to read too much into. He blew the save against the Mariners. Was it 4 earned runs or 3 earned runs for Uribe? Oh, it was 2 earned runs, 3 hits. That's what it was. And he walked 1 batter, did not have a strikeout. He ended up getting the win because they ended up coming back in the bottom half and got the victory. But bad, bad stuff from Abner Uribe. He did not look sharp. There's no one that they can really go to in my mind. Like, Piamps, kind of. But Piamps got the shit kicked out of him the other night, and I don't really think that he is a closer. He's pretty good, but I don't think he's a closer. I think Uribe is still the guy. It was a bad outing. But this time of year, we're doing the snip-snap, Michael Scott, back and forth, and we'll see that he blew a save and that you want to pick up Piamps, and we'll do this with a lot of different situations, but they have shown us that Uribe is the guy. They went to him in those first 4 save opportunities of the year now, so I'm not really going to be that worried about him losing the job because of a bad outing. But there are people who are worried about it, understandably so, with all the different rotating doors of closers this time of year, especially this season, because we didn't see this last year. People are kind of nervous, and they always want to be ahead of the curve, and I'm sure that there were some people who dropped your eBay. Let me just see, to humor myself, in Yahoo leagues, 130 teams dropped Abner Uribe yesterday. I think it's crazy town, but that's the reactive nature of this time of year. And on the other side of that, Andrés Muñoz also blew a save in horrendous fashion. He walked four batters. Like, this was, both sides of this matchup were just atrocious. I don't know that I've ever seen both closers come out and just be this horrible on both sides. Four walks, he allowed one earned run, he struck out the batter, there's the only out he recorded. Again, a situation where we're not really reading too much into it. There's nobody there that's going to be able to fill in for Munoz in the back end of that, in the back end of that bullpen. Matt Brash is hurt. Paul Sewald is not in town anymore. I don't see there being anybody that's, first of all, I don't think he would lose his job over this anyway, but if people are going to go down that road and say that Munoz might lose his job, you got to think, who is he going to lose it to? And there's nobody that he would lose it to in my mind. He is clearly the guy, especially with Brash injured. I wouldn't be reading too much into it, but again, people this time of year, a lot of what I do is just try and calm people down and not have people worrying too much. But 170 teams dropped Andrés Muñoz yesterday. If somebody in your league dropped on you Andrés Muñoz, it doesn't matter who you have, I would pick him up. He is a must-add. If somebody did drop him, I'm talking to a small number of you here. There might be one or two people listening where Muñoz was actually dropped in your league, maybe. And maybe it's none of you. But take a look, because people are just so reactive right now that they will add and drop players at the drop of a hat. And it's not something that I think is going to pan out for you a lot of the time. I think it's a really foolish thing to do, especially with a guy like Munoz. But that's the nature of the game right now. Everybody is always looking for the next thing. It's always kind of been the nature of the game. But especially with all these injuries, people are in full-blown panic mode, thinking everybody's going to lose their job. And I understand it. But guys like Munoz and Uribe, specifically Munoz, do not be dropping. It is a really premature thing to do.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Exco, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, let's talk about some of the most added and dropped players today over on Yahoo. We mentioned this number one ad earlier on. He's been added in almost 7,500 leagues. We'll probably get to about 10,000 by the time game time starts tonight. It's Garrett Whitlock. He gets the Angels. He's only 49% rostered. And like I mentioned, starting pitcher, relief pitcher eligible, very easy to get into your lineup. The underlying skills have been really good for Whitlock for a while. Good strikeout rate. I like him more than just a streamer. I think he can be a potential rest of season guy. So pick him up for this Angel start. That's a great matchup for the weekend. And then you can probably carry him over for the next little while. He's not somebody that you'd have to be immediately cutting after the game or anything. Michael Conforto is one of the hottest players, maybe the hottest player in baseball. 13 for 31 to start the year, 3 homers, 10 ribbies. He's batting .419. He scored 8 times as well, and he went 3 for 4 yesterday just to keep it going. For my money, Michael Conforto is a massive sell if you're able to. You might not be able to in some shallow leagues. He might have just been picked up off the waiver wire, and I know how people feel about picking a guy up off the waiver wire and immediately offering him in a trade. He's still only 63% rostered. So, yeah, I think he's a fine ad, but I think a lot of you 10, 12-team players, there's not going to be a spot for him for the whole year. This is a hot streak that if you want to ride it out, then ride it out. But Michael Conforto hasn't really been a fantasy asset since the COVID year, which, you know, how much are you going to read into 50 games, and really truly the year before, 2019, which he had a massive home run output that year, which he hasn't been able to get back to, and surprise, surprise, 2019 was the happy fun ball year. So I think that Michael Conforto is like a best case scenario, maybe 20 home run guy who's a poor batting average asset. The lineup is okay. He's not going to steal. I think in 12-team leagues, if you want to add him and try and like get whatever you can out of this hot streak, then fine. I have no problem with that. But don't be dropping anybody of great significance for him. And don't get too attached. Because I mentioned this again on Baseball HQ radio yesterday. I compared him to Matt Chapman. Not directly, because we don't know what's going to happen with Conforto. But Chapman was so great in April last year that his numbers looked pretty okay through about mid-June. And people were still not dropping him because, well, for the season he's still 270. And he still has 16 homers or whatever. But if all that came in April and that production that you had in April just kind of buoying the whole thing, then that's a problem. And I think we're going to see the same thing with Conforto. Even if he goes ice cold after this, for a few weeks he's going to still be at the top of the player rankers and the Roswell player raters and all that stuff. He's going to come in pretty high up. I don't think that he should. I think that this is a flash in the pan where if you can sell high, you should sell high. If you want to add him, then by all means, go ahead and do it, but don't get too attached. Connor Joe is also being added up in a lot of leagues. I said it on Twitter the other night. I posted this, looking at his stats by month for his career. And April, he does this. Every April, OPS over 800, WRC plus of like 130, he's hitting homers, and then he sucks the rest of the year. It's really bad. Like, it's not even like he's okay, he's fine the rest of the year. He's terrible, like unstartable outside of April for his career. I don't really understand it. People are going to add him. They're going to overspend on him, be irresponsible. But at the end of the day, I think Connor Joe is somebody you can pretty easily avoid in most, pretty much every league. Even in 15-teamers, you're going to want to pick him up. This is the problem with him. He does this every year. He's got three. He's batting 346. He's hit a homer. He's driven in seven. He's had a very good first week. I don't see that sustaining for very long. So for my money, Connor Joe is a pretty easy avoid. Ranger Suarez is a good streamer this afternoon against the Washington Nationals. He's not like my favorite. My favorite was Paul Blackburn, who I picked up in my home league, Daily Change League. But I think that Ranger Suarez is still probably a pretty decent option for you. He had seven strikeouts against the Braves in his first outing, allowed three runs over five innings. Like, that's a pretty good start against anybody, but the Braves in particular, that's good stuff. I would trust him against Washington. I think that's a pretty solid add. Those are the main players getting added today. There's some some carryover from previous days' adds as well. Bryce Tarang, who we've talked about a lot. Brady Singer, who we've also talked about. And Ronel Blanco are also among some of the most added players. Ronel Blanco is a risky one against the Rangers tomorrow. I think that one could get you in some trouble. Let's talk about some of these drops, though, the most dropped players of the day. At the top, we have Shane Bieber, Yuri Perez. That's understandable. Yuri Perez, people are still just going through their rosters, I guess, and just finalizing that. 20,000 leagues have dropped Shane Bieber today. Unbelievable stuff, but it's, you know, it's where we are right now. Hunter Brown is one where we're getting ahead of ourselves. People are already dropping Hunter Brown. He had a tough start against a very tough team. Did not look good against the Rangers yesterday. But now 1,700 people have cut him from their teams. This is a guy who I think can take the next step and become like an SP2 this year. Finishes a top 30, 35 starting pitcher. If somebody dropped Hunter Brown, he should be a very, very, very high priority pickup in your league. Griffin Canning is getting dropped because of a bad start against Boston yesterday. I think it's probably a little premature. Tough schedule to start the year. Baltimore, Boston, and then Tampa. I get it if you don't want to be starting him right now, but I think to cut Griffin Canning in most leagues is a little premature. 10-teamers, you can cut him. I think 12 and beyond, though, he should still be on rosters. Well, Brandon Nimmo is back in the lineup today. People have been cutting him after a slow start to the year. He's 1-for-21. He's obviously quite a bit better than that. It's a very easy buy-low situation, and you might even be able to find him on the waiver wire if he's still sitting there, and he is in a lot of leagues. Only 74% rostered, and he's opened up some more spots today just because people are dropping him. Giancarlo Stanton, get him out of your lineups. Just garbage crapola at this point. Still 71% rostered. It's the thing I mentioned with Eloy before. We're just constantly thinking that we can get that old magic back. It ain't happening. He's at the plate looking like Ray Charles the way he's swinging. He is terrible. So get him out of your lineups. Get him off your team. I have no need for Stanton outside of the deepest of leagues. Zach Littell is kind of an interesting drop as well today. He went like, how many teams have dropped him? Almost 1,000. 930 teams have dropped Zach Littell. I get it, kind of, if you were just using him as a streamer. But after what he showed in the first couple outings, one earned run over 11 innings, good strikeouts, good team context, I think it'd be a little crazy to be dropping Zach Littell. He's somebody that I would be keeping. I think that one is people getting ahead of themselves. Some of these other drops, too, it's just people are very reactive in the early going. James Outman, he's had a bad start, so he's getting dropped. No, that's not what you do here. Jordan Walker, the same way. Bad start, getting dropped. Starling Marte, getting dropped. It's just, I think, a little bit premature for a lot of these guys. Varsho as well. Guys who were in the top 200 or so picks, for the most part, I'm willing to give him more than a week. You know, especially for those guys who are top 100, top 150. But even the top 200, like, give him more than a week. There's still a long way to go. We're about 5% of the way through the season, so just keep it in mind. It feels like we've had a year's worth of stuff happen, especially yesterday, but it's still very early on. And I think my main goal here is just to keep everybody calm and not panicking too much about these players. But, guys, that will do it. We'll be back again on Monday. We'll talk about something. We're not sure yet. We'll probably have a bunch to talk about. But then on Tuesday, we'll be joined by our first guest of the regular season, Gray Albright, the founder of Razzball, will be here talking about some of these early season outliers and what to do with them. That'll be on Tuesday's show. And we'll be doing stuff every single day. If you guys are not familiar with the show, you're listening for the first time, we go 5 days a week, usually Monday through Friday, but I've been doing Saturday shows recently as opposed to the Friday ones, just to kind of mix it up a little bit, give you guys some weekend content. And we go, you know, 5 days a week. We're doing stuff on Twitter all the time, so go and follow at JoelRico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. But guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Watch some baseball. I hope you avoid the injury bugs. But until Monday, take care and have a great weekend.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Stone, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Stone, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.